IPP Services, Lavazzi at boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome
again
to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 307. I'm Adam, and I wonder who invented this stupid idea of doing a quote. I bet it was Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
You don't have to do the quote if you don't want to. I will continue. I will continue to do it.
I don't remember that being in the show. He's gone all quiet now.
What? Did you introduce me?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to do your quote.
Oh. How do we get past Padma Thing Me?
Mary Lang.
It is what you must do.
And the lovely Debbie Melrose.
If you need me, just yell your head off.
I'm not surprised no one took the obvious one.
Which was?
What's obvious to you may not be to someone else.
Oh, yes. There is great danger. There is great danger. You must take me away. Take me away.
That's a good one, Kirby. Yes. Yes.
My next one was the time for talk is gone, but, you know.
Okay. A wee bit daffy.
There's always, get down, doctor.
I've just done a quote. A wee bit daffy.
Yes.
Yeah, a wee bit daffy.
Okay, this week
we're
going to go look at the Bonneville Simon before I got interrupted yet again. And we are, in fact, even though I'm getting interrupted yet again, going to talk about the abominable snowman. And as Debbie has got loads of notes, what I'm going to do, because at some point during this...
She's going to win.
Shut up. Over the next 6 months... is I'm very busy needing a new set of teeth, doing filming, photographing, etc. Specifically on the weekend or where we might record on the 8th of May, for instance, I've got to go to a first aid course. There's going to be a three-day first aid course. I've got to leave work at 5:30 that Sunday evening. Live up to the hotel on the mainland, and I'm away off the island for 3 days. Then it's my birthday when I get back, I'm going to be rather out of action that week.
I'm doing the questions then.
Don't know. Not saying I won't be on the show, but I'll probably be on the show and it'll have to be recorded at Casa Melrose.
That's all right.
Possibly, I don't know. Depends how. I'll be concentrating on driving and stuff. But
Just as long as Debbie remembers to press place record.
Well, how about learning how to speak, Kirby?
Why, I oughta.
Anyway, so yeah, it's going to be a bit awkward and tricky for me over the next few months. Deb's already trying to veto the show.
You're too busy.
Sort of stuff, you know. So, but at the moment, we're not busy. I am busy, but I'm doing the show. I'm here, aren't I? So we're going to crack on with Abominable Snowman, and Debbie Melrose is going to now do the synopsis while I sit back and drink a glass of Diet Pepsi. It's Diet Pepsi Max, actually. I'll ship in here and there, Debbie.
Isn't it kind of late in the evening? Is it late in the evening to have some caffeine?
Doesn't make any difference to me. I still fall
asleep. I've got Coke and rum.
I ran out of Jack Daniels. I was going to stick some Jack Daniels in it.
I like that.
What, Jack Daniels?
Rum. Why am I doing the synopsis? I haven't got it up on my screen.
Beg your pardon?
That's what she said.
Basically, the Doctor, Victoria and Jamie land on a mountain in Tibet.
No, North
Meet
Wales.
Meet the suspicious looking character.
Yeah, where she says that there's large footprints in the snow, but have you noticed there's no snow?
Oh, I like this. You're all chipping in.
And have you noticed as well, especially when Jamie and the Doctor are walking near the TARDIS, there's sheep,
Oh, have you disappeared?
And goats.
Did you guys disappear?
Yeah, you all disappeared. Why did you disappear for, Debbie? What button did you press?
I didn't press anything.
But you all disappeared.
Mary and I were still talking.
Oh, so it wasn't just me.
No, it was
the dropout.
See, this is what happened. Debbie forgot to press record, Kirby, and everybody dropped out.
Reality stops if you don't press record.
Right. So I'm going to have to apologise to you lot because I've got some messages coming down the right-hand side of the screen. We've got Ashley Hughes, new daddy. Actually, Ashley, what is the name of your baby? I never did find out. Billy Kurt Bright, who said Mr. Dawn Pearson. I don't think that's a question. That's just a shout-out. Mr. Pearson! Debbie Mel something or other. We're live. Well, I know we're live. I have posted it. So say live at the top of the screen, Debbie. And Billy Kurt Bright says, hello, Debbie. Debbie's upstairs in bed. Debbie Melrose says, no, we're not. What does that mean, Deb?
Auntie Butcher. Live, then we won't, because the batteries went out.
Auntie Butcher says, no, I feedbacked already before the music played. That's a record for me. Ashley Hughes, whoop, whoop. Auntie Butcher, what, that riveting. I think they're talking about Kirby. In a sarcastic fashion. Debbie Melrose, back in a tick, batteries. What are you on about? I was on all the time, getting my batteries out of my old flash. Alan T. Butcher, yay. And then it says, conversation starter, 10 comments so far. Kirby Bartlett, oh, bloody hell, Kirby Bartlett Sloan's joined in. oh, my camera just moved. And then Alan T. Butcher, ah, the quiet. Ashley Hughes, take two. Billy Kirkbright, slick. And then I got episode
I was
three.
Just all I was doing is looking at the comments. That didn't
and
actually...
we have an official, this is rather exclusive to the show, the name of Ashley and Emma's baby is, and right, if any of you can get it right, you get a ding and some points in the quiz.
Don't forget,
Clara.
Kirby, what do you reckon?
Stormageddon.
No, it's Hadley, so you all got it wrong. So points deducted, that's 2 points to me. Right then, so carry on, everybody.
What?
Get on with it.
Oil that chair.
You do the synopsis. I'm not ready for this.
Will you stop doing your share impression?
I don't have it at all anywhere. I'd have to pull up Daily Motion, then you wouldn't be able to hear me.
Debbie, stop. Oh, I see. Is it slowing your computer down?
Yes.
Something's happening because you guys are driving out.
I'm going to find out what's going on upstairs.
Yeah, she sounds really weird, doesn't she, everybody? Right, yeah, here's a chance for some comedy. It's a chance for some comedy, everybody. Hello, anybody there?
No.
What do you mean, no?
No.
What do you mean, no?
I'm not here.
You are there. So when she gets back...
Prove it.
What?
Yes.
Shut up. When she gets back, we'll pretend we've finished the synopsis. Yeah? Hello?
I don't know.
No, you spoil, spoil.
I don't think the problem is entirely her. I think it may be our general Skype connection because you keep dropping out too.
Yeah, and Kirby, you're sounding a little cyber too.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll reboot the Skype call because I did pause it, didn't I?
Is that better?
I don't know.
Well, we're done by now.
Yeah, we're done. So what did you think then, Kirby?
Oh, it was great.
What a surprise. Yeah, all right. Let's see if we can find one. Because Debbie's obviously struggling with this synopsis. She doesn't want anybody to know what note she's got. So she's worried about
me. No. Okay, I could probably read them all out and you'd get the whole story. But I can't actually play it because it's really messing with my bandwidth.
Okay, shall we do it like a brief synopsis instead of our normal in-depth one? And per Kirby, the net.
I suggest that you...
What?
Master?
What?
You just dropped out for another 2 seconds.
So I did you. Come on.
Restart the Skype.
Restart. I've got to restart the Skype. Have I? Right. Hang on. Is this call on the Wi-Fi? I've just seen if this live thing is on.
Maybe that's the problem.
Might be.
Maybe it's the... Yeah.
Hang on. I'm just having a look. Oh, it's on Wi-Fi. Let's turn it on to 4G. There you go.
Drop out when you do that.
No, it won't.
Ow. That hurt.
Tough.
Yeah, that's better, actually.
Oh!
Yeah,
there you go. I'm now on 4G.
Everybody sounds better.
I'm streaming via my 4G network. Gets used up sometimes.
So it wasn't just me, then?
Yeah, it probably was.
No.
Probably was.
No, Debbie, it's never you.
No. Right. Anyway, shall I... Right, shut up. We've been 18 minutes into this show and still haven't actually covered the episode yet. Yes?
It's not that good.
It's still having some problems.
What is?
The Skype connection.
Right, I'll reboot it again. Right, let's reboot Skype. Right, quit Skype. Bye. Skype's gone. Right, let's get it back up and running again. So what about rebooting on this show? Do the west of the cast wear a 1Z? I'm only wearing it because I would normally be sat in my t-shirt and my pants, and I don't want anyone seeing my pants when I go and get a Stella later on. Yeah, right, let's get... There we are. Mm-hmm. Right, she's not answering. Oh, eventually.
Pardon?
Eventually. How long did that take to answer? Honestly, what do you think? I think I've got all evening?
No, that only rang twice.
Oh, well, twice is enough. You should have been waiting for it. Oh, that's funny noise. Right. This isn't going to work. It's still going to be funny and intermittent, you know. I think it's just...
About time.
Oh, shut up. Right, can we get back to the
take
episode?
Three.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, take three.
Everybody does sound a bit weird tonight.
It's going to be one of those nights. It's going to be lots of editing.
Oh, everybody's all echoing. Cool.
Everybody's all echoing.
Echo. Yeah, and you're cutting out.
I'm cutting out.
Everybody is cutting out, yeah.
Well, I'm not cutting out.
Nothing to do with me.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not. Can we get on?
The first line of my note says John screaming.
Why?
If that's any help.
Right, let me chip in here. Right there. The TARDIS lands in Wales, where apparently there are some Yeti on the mountains. The Doctor finds a bell.
I didn't know there were Yeti
in Wales. The Doctor finds a bell in a bag, and goes...
Along with a lot of other stuff.
Realises he's in Tibet.
I like the label.
And then they head off.
Oh, yes.
Because the Doctor...
But what about the...
Up his iconic fur coat.
Yeah, which ironically looks like a Yeti as well, which is a part of the sort
it's
of
a great hairy beastie.
Mm. Realizes he's in Tibet, beastie. Apparently, and they head off down towards the is it a monastery or?
Yes, it's a monastery.
Sort of a monastery, isn't it? But bump into a sort of a couple of Yeti on the way.
Something like that.
Because there was one watching the Doctor as he was... poking around
they're
on the mountainside.
They're seriously beepy for Yeti, aren't they?
Yeah, they are very beepy. And then, of course, they bump into Travers, who is a bit of a mad scientist in a way, isn't he? He's very, very mad.
Suspicious.
Yes. We've got to mention
he's,
about
he's
that.
Just feeling... Master. He's just feeling a little self-conscious because he's acting with his daughter there.
Maybe so, but obviously someone gets done in and he's suspicious. He thinks that Doctor has something to do with it. So when they arrive at the monastery, the Doctor is sort of tested in a way. They tie him to the gate and see if the Yeti will kill him. And if he's innocent...
Yes, if the Yeti rescue him, he's guilty. Yeah. Yeah. If he's rescued, he's guilty.
Yeah.
But if he's innocent, they'll protect him if the Yeti come to get him.
Well, somebody realises that he's the Doctor and he's come back after all these years, so he gets sort of rescued.
That somebody would be the master. I mean, the Padme, what's his face?
Padme,
they couldn't tell me, and then someone else called him
Padme. Oh, by the way, Billy Kirkbright wants to know if the rest of the cast also wear onesies while doing the show. I'm thinking that Debbie should. Well,
it's late in the afternoon, so I haven't quite got the onesies yet.
Mm. Anyway, so the rest
I've never seen any for sale at conventions. Someone ought to start selling them at conventions.
Right there, aren't they?
We never see them on sale anywhere here.
I'd like a onesie.
Never mind the onesie. Be quiet.
Perhaps whoone.co.uk could provide special things for all of the 20 megabyte people.
Lavazzi can do silk ones.
Back to the show. So essentially, the story is
you need to suggest that.
Shut up. The story is the Doctor deciphering what the Yeti are, trying to capture a Yeti, trying to fend off the Yeti. The Doctor then trying to find who's controlling the Yeti, and basically they're in and out the monastery, trying to find things on the mountain.
Yes, Master. Mm-hmm. Isn't it nice that there at least we have one episode where there's actually full motion.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, part two.
Yeah, full motion. Oh, part two is very good for full motion. And Victoria gets, does a bit of Sarah Jane acting when she gets sort of trance-ized, or hypnotized, or whatever you call it. And that's quite, I would imagine.
Dread, take me away.
No, that's before. I'm talking about before the take me away bit. take me away bit when she speaks with the voice of
the Mr.
No,
Runs.
Not the voice of your gullet, no.
It's the Mr. Runs.
Yeah. Anyway, so as the story develops, we see more and more of the Padma Sambhava, or whatever his name is. And well, he goes a bit, he's a bit of a sort of flipped personality. And one minute he's all talking all calm and stuff. The next minute he gets rather cross. I know how he feels. I don't know.
That's like a normal day at work to me.
I bought something from the M&Co the other day, but you could be bothered to be there when I went in. I bought a pink, I bought a pink polo shirt for our breast cancer awareness day at work. No, I thought you'd be interested in that.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said I could have gone naked because I was pink.
This is
going to
be...
What?
Master?
What?
This is going to be very interesting when we get around to the questions because I suspect I won't hear half the questions because you keep
good.
Dropping
Yes, same here. Same here.
Be quiet a minute. Right. You've made me forget what I was going to say. Right. So...
Birds.
The doctor, by halfway through the story, is completely in control of the situation and is just sort of biding his time and taking his opportunities to try and infiltrate the inner sanctum. I do like a good inner sanctum in a Doctor Who story. And finally sort of meet his old friend, apparently, who's been taken over by the Great Intelligence. And then eventually you defeat the Great Intelligence by sort of essentially doing a sort of feedback loop. Doodah thing, a bit like they did in the Planet of the Spiders. I know it's a bit brief.
I mean, all these Buddhist stories all have to be similar.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, the characters in the story are really, really good. I quite liked Tomney and the very manic.
I think Tomney had a bit of a thing for Miss Victoria.
There wasn't the one who played the warrior bloke, wasn't he? Tigerner in Marco Polo.
Creason, I'm pretty sure he was, didn't he?
I think he was.
Who? Creason? No, yeah. He was. Yeah. Creason was in two other stories, but not that one.
Was
he
it two other previous stories?
And
Creason.
No, Norman Jones was in Doctor in the Silurians as Major Baker, and he was Hieronymus in Master
Mandragora. See this? See this? Look, it really annoys me. My blooming coaster, it sticks, and then it doesn't stick.
Oh. What are you doing?
I'm having a drink of Pepsi Max.
Sounds like he's beating up the coaster.
Having a drink of Pepsi Max. A bit too quick. Right, so, that's essentially the story. So if anybody wants to elaborate on certain aspects of the story, which I've just...
I tried, but you kept going.
Oh, just get on with it, then. This is your chance, Kirby, to input. Make the most of it.
Usually you go through them more slowly.
Sorry.
I rather like it that he made it really quick because it gives us more time to talk about the story if we want to.
Thank you, Mary.
Yep.
Ooh.
Come on, get on with it then.
You just got a couple of points.
No, Mary's just got a...
Yes, that was for me.
Because she's a good
girl. It was quite interesting the way that Creason was always questioning Padma Samavar's existence.
Existence?
Yeah, because he's like, well, we haven't seen him. He's not real. You know, where is he? Who is this master? You know, and then he suddenly speaks through the maiden.
Master. I mean, was anybody made curious by the number of warriors that were there? I mean, this is a monastery in the middle of nowhere. You'd only think maybe they need two or three, but they have a whole bunch of warriors.
There are lots of them, aren't there? Yeah, my brother warriors. Why have you got them?
Yeah.
Oh, Mani Padme.
How are you keeping, how are you keeping your in shape and all that stuff? Because there's nobody to fight.
Maybe they were sort of trying to sort of channel this fact that, you know, they're Shaolin monks, you know, who are fantastic warrior monks. Maybe that's what they were sort of.
Maybe that's
sort
what
they're
trying to do.
But they seem to just stand about with sticks at the time.
Well, but there seemed to be warriors who were not monks, and then there were the monks, because then the warriors never were referred to ever as being monks or being partaking in the prayers or anything.
See, they were defending them, weren't they? Yeah, from the Yeti. But where did they come from in the first place if they were that necessary?
Yeah,
I always got the impression that everybody was a monk.
No,
Creason never went to pray, neither did Tomney.
Yeah, they never prayed. They were even.
It was referred to at least once for Crisan to go and pray.
Yeah, but he didn't, and he was critical, if not questioning, of the monks and what they were doing.
Now I'm wondering, slightly different, but dealing with the monks and like the abbot and the and Padme, what's his face?
Om Mani Padme Hum.
Since the doctor was an old friend, they never really address it because they hadn't thought of it yet. But I'm wondering if possibly Padme, what's his face, was also a Time Lord the way Kanpo was a Time Lord.
I love the way you say
in Planet of the Spiders.
Padme, what's his face? That's very unusually sort of flippant of you not to be a bit more accurate.
Well, I should say Padme Thingmi, like Jamie said.
Yeah, Padme Thingmi. Yeah, Padme Thingmi.
I didn't get the impression that other than he could elevate to the astral plane, which is what got him into trouble, but that he was kind of taken over by the great intelligence. And that's allowed him to live so long, and you could see the flesh just kind of hanging off of him.
Yes.
And he looked terrible.
Don't you mean bits of latex, Mary, hanging off him?
Well, yes. Yeah, you know, I wasn't sure whether it was a bad makeup job or whether they were trying to indicate how old, you know, how decayed and old he was, because I don't think he ever got out of that chair.
It was like a mask because he had two sets of lips.
Stop talking over each other.
He did get out of the chair because he hit the doctor when he went into the inner sanctum the last time.
Oh, yeah. Did we see him be hit?
Well, you heard him.
No, because it's one of the missing.
The pictures implied that he was stood up over the doctor and the doctor was gurning as though he was being attacked and all that
screaming. There was a point in which the doctor had a great deal of pain inflicted on him. No, you forgot.
That was it. The door is closed behind the doctor. He started screaming, but I don't. Did we see what caused it?
I thought it was
a bit of a psychological attack, as far as I could make out from.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was that it was mental, not.
I'd like to see that for real. That would be nice. Mm. You know, without just pictures, because some of the running around was a bit curious.
Mm-hmm.
The fighting the Yeti off was quite interesting, trying to listen to that.
Well, and throughout this story, I was also asking myself, what was the purpose of these mechanized Yeti? What did they actually do?
Scare people.
But they would be more of a tourist attraction if people thought they could actually see some Yeti. I mean, that's why Travers and his friend were there, where they were drawn to be there. And if the intelligence wanted everybody to go away, why would he create something that would attract more people?
Because Padme Thingmi was so frail, they were his way of getting things done. When he was 200
puppets, weren't they?
300 years younger when he built the mechanism.
Yeah, but why did they have to look like Yeti? That's the thing. The point is, why did they make them look? They could have just been any old robot. Why do they have to make them look like Yeti?
Yeah.
Why did the great intelligence have to make them look like snowmen several decades later?
Because that's what Stephen Moffat wanted.
I think it's because they're the local creature, and also they have the sort of the right makeup for it. You couldn't use a mountain goat. You'd have to use something with hands to move the orbs and things. So yeah, I think that's probably why they picked the Yeti, because they are
hands. What do you mean, Christian Anderson?
Did you see the picture? Never really
saw them do anything. They looked so awkward and bumbling. It reminds me of the Daleks. How do the Daleks build anything?
That reminds me of the Ice Warriors, actually.
With a sucker and a gun, how do they build things?
Oh, yeah, like next week, how the Ice Warriors build anything with those claws.
Yeah.
With Lego hands, basically.
Well, they work all right in the Lego movie, Kirby.
Did you see the picture I posted? It's a screen grab from The Snowman, where I believe that it was an homage to this story, into Web of Fear. And as the snowmen were melting at the end of that story, one of the heads was silver spin. Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was ice.
Yeah, maybe.
But it was definitely his spear.
Okay, so how are we doing in relation to discussing this story at the moment? It's all gone quiet.
I don't know. How are we doing?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what I thought of it.
Oh, well, I want to make an observation.
Good. See, that I thought that might spur you lot into action. Go on then, Mary.
just when the great intelligence was speaking through Batma thingy, he sounded at times to me like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. You know, you will be sort of da, 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 you know, like my precious. The way he could go back and forth to his nice voice and then his Gollum graspy voice, you know, I like that.
Yes. I liked his voice, his calm voice. It was so soothing, my brothers.
Yeah, that was his nice voice.
Anyway, now can I say what I thought of it?
I am Papa Sababa.
Shut up.
And I'm going to eat
you. I'll take that as a yes then. Right, then, what I thought of this story.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite good fun, actually. When I originally listened to the audio of it, I found it a bit tedious, because obviously without the image it was difficult generating or trying to imagine what things were going to look like. But having the pictures really did help to carry the story along, as it tends to do with these loose canon reconstructions.
Redestructions? Right.
Shut up. I think it probably could have been a little bit shorter, to be fair, but it didn't. It didn't drag that much for me. I watched it in two episode parts, so I started watching it on Thursday in two parts, and I could have carried on watching it really, although it was very late at night, so I had to stop. On the whole, I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was quite a good little tale. And bearing in mind the other Ice Warrior story, which will be in a few weeks' time, obviously, and is longer than this one, I think this is actually sort of easier to digest than the next one, even though the next one's got Lethbridge Stewart on it, which is what makes it quite exciting. It's okay. I'll say it's still not the best Troughton story so far, but I think this is a good good sort of middling to good Doctor Who story. And Troughton himself was masterful in this particular tale. What did you think of it, Ms. Melrose?
It could be shorter, definitely, but it would have been interesting if we could have seen, you know, all of them, you know, live action, so to speak, because episode two went really quickly. And I saved watching this for my day off, which was on Friday, and I watched five of the six episodes sort of a couple at a time. Then I went off and did some things, then a couple at a time. I just kept going. I thought it was really fun. And I was enjoying how silly how interesting it was. You know, it was like at some points really silly, and at other points utterly fascinating in the ideas.
I think it was the characters in it, the way they were portrayed and performed. They just had interesting characters.
Yeah, they were complete. They were fully formed characters. Even the guy that just seems to guard the gate. Mm. What's his name?
Guard. It was called Guard, wasn't he?
No, Ralphachan.
He didn't really have much to do, but he was quite a rounded character as well. And it was just, it was really good. The Yeti were very interesting. The whole concept of the orbs, though, the bit where the orb is being dragged through.
Like a pair of orbs.
The way the orbs are talking to each other through the gate, I thought that was quite interesting, because that's what it felt like. It felt like that the two orbs were communicating.
Just but interesting to note, Debbie, that our viewership went down quite rapidly until you started talking about orbs, and then suddenly it's got started to shoot up again.
Two marvellous big round orbs. That were
yes, that's and, what she said.
I lost my train of thought now. But I enjoyed it. It was a romp, and the Doctor was fantastic.
Now she's talking about romps and orbs now, listeners.
Yeah, romps and orbs. It turned into a carry-on film, but it could have been shorter, but the existing episode that I watched went really quickly watching that, and I felt that if all of them had been, you know, had survived, it would have gone really quickly and been really enjoyable, sort of hop to each episode. And I can see how that probably was garnering more viewers per episode as they went along as well, because it was a fun romp and I liked it. It's not my top one, definitely, of the Troughton ones we've watched so far, but it was fun. It was interesting fun. I liked it.
Thank you. What did you think about then, Kirby?
This was... Please oil that chair.
It doesn't need oiling. It's a spring. Get on with it.
I don't know what to get for his birthday. WD-40.
Doesn't need WD-40.
Yes, I know.
It's a spring.
It's just every time he moves, my ears...
Just get on with
anyway,
it.
Anyway.
I'm not plugged in.
This was my third attempt to watch it. Actually, my first successful attempt to watch it. I don't know why I had trouble before, but this time when I sat down and started watching as much as I could, seeing that it's mostly missing, I really enjoyed it. And I wish that I had seen it before I saw The Web of Fear, because it really helped set up Web of Fear.
It does.
In fact, I had tried to watch it before Web of Fear. I don't know what when Web of Fear appeared and we were getting it from iTunes, etc., I tried to get this reconstruction, and I don't remember. It just petered off or something. This was really enjoyable, and it was particularly the second episode, be able to watch what's going on and see Troughton in his best, doing one of his best Doctor performances, I thought, so far. It's not my favorite so far, but... It was enjoyable. It was a fun romp, and that's all I can say.
Yes, thank you, Kirby. Right then, so listeners, do you want to go and make yourself a cup of tea? I haven't got time because it's Mary.
Well, I'm going to surprise you all and say I really enjoyed this one.
Oh, no!
It was fun, wasn't it?
Applause for the gasps of surprise. Yeah. Well, the thing is, I do disagree with you, Deb. You kept using the word that it's a romp. When you say romp, I think more like, you know, the Romans, you know, which was really intended to be, you know, fun and upbeat and all that. What made this very effective for me was that there was no soundtrack, you know, no music soundtrack.
Except for the chanting, no.
Except for the chanting. So that we could hear all the creaky doors and the beeping of the spheres and the howling of the wind and all that. And I think just the dead quiet of it all really brought home how isolated the monastery was and how quiet generally the atmosphere was. So to me, it kind of grew in menace because of that quiet. And the few sounds that we did hear, you know, just seemed to add to
it. Mary's doing a
cookie. No, she's not. Shut up.
No, she's not.
Mary's doing what?
You're not doing anything. Carry on.
Share. You were doing a share. Debbie said.
Well, everybody's doing it from my end, from what I can hear.
That's what she says, but we just want to hear what you're saying about Dr. Who.
That's what she said.
it did move kind of slow, but... For me, I agree with
you about the atmosphere. It was very atmospheric. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a clever thing.
The slowness of this worked for me because it did build, you know, the uncertainties and who's really evil and who isn't. I mean, the character of Chrisong, who starts out, we don't like him. He seems evil and like he's this. You know, military man, but as the time goes along, you realize, well, he is a true military man. He knows his job, and he's going to do it, and even if it hurts or kills him, he's going to, you know, make sure everybody is safe, or, you know, whatever his, what he takes as his, you know, directive, he's going to do it. So he turns out to be a good man, and that Songsten, who starts out because he's this soft-spoken abbot, we think, you know, he's a good guy. But as it goes along, he is so taken by the Batma, whatever thingy. He's evil, not in and of himself, but, you know, he is an evil character in this. So I enjoyed, you know, that I was left kind of hanging and uncertain, you know, who was good and who wasn't. except for Tanmi. I mean, he was good all the way through. And I have to say that
so nice,
I complained the last time that I wasn't sure that I liked this Troughton very much, or this Troughton doctor very much, because he seems so kind of goofy and uncertain and curious, which gets them into more trouble. Whereas in this one, I hope it continues on this path, because in this one, he seemed more in charge and knowledgeable, and he seemed more protective of his companions. And so I found myself, if I were a companion, turning to him and trusting him, whereas in previous to this, I don't know that I would.
Well, he had to win back Jamie's trust a little bit, because over the last few stories, you know, Jamie's sort of trust in him has been tested quite a lot.
Oh, yeah, it has. Yeah. I mean, the only time that I found myself feeling a little uncertain about this doctor is when Jamie is saying, oh, what about Vicky? And he's going, oh, well, there's nothing we can do for her. I'm thinking, wait a minute. It made it sound like, okay, you know, it's too late. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah, she's but, written.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so I wouldn't change a thing except to see these episodes live, you know, because I think two gave us a really good idea of how good the acting is and how well-paced this is, and also, yeah, so I like this one.
Wow.
Marvelous. A couple other observations once you guys are done.
Go on, then.
Well, I was so done.
One is kind of serious. That's I am a little bit bothered by the fact I realized it was late 60s, and here we are with really one of the first yellow face stories where you had white actors playing Asian characters. Although, interestingly, David Spencer is apparently from Sri Lanka. That's Tanmay. So. But so that
surely that's still quite a long way away from Tibet.
But so anyway, and the other thing is I threatened my family that I'm going to trim my mustache like Cresson's.
Oh, please. I thought that was so ugly.
That was a bit weird,
don't
wasn't it? It was
dare. Like he'd
missed a bit. He shaved with his eyes shut or something like that. Anyway, can I get on? I've got some feedback.
Yeah, are you in a hurry?
No, I'm just saying, I've got feedback. Yeah. Hang on, if I can load it, that'd be quite useful. Right, here we go. Oh, no, not yet, Ian. Oh, sorry, I'll let it go who it was now. Okay, never mind.
Well,
hurry up then.
Hello, Tony Miller. Thank you. I'm Dustin Ian Kirk. I've got over the flu, but this weekend I have a cold.
What a tune. Is Vic there? The Americans won't understand what Vic is, so don't worry about it.
The Abominable Snowman by Mervyn Esmond and Henry Lincoln. The Mystery of the Monastery. The Monastery is Under Siege by Yeti. They're not real Yeti, they are robots. Simple, but very strong. Even being buried in polystyrene cannot harm them. There might be a mistake for Wombles. This is the third story in a row that I have not seen before.
Oh, good.
It must be the reconstruction. Reese's stories keep referring to someone as the master, before they had Roger Delgado.
Mm-hmm.
It was Shakespeare's birthday on Saturday, and the BBC made some sort of announcement about Bill. Mm. I expect Adam has the details.
My girl Bill.
Well done for finding that tune.
I can't say enough about the way I feel about my girl. My girl Bill.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Well done.
Yeah, thanks, Ian.
Right. Like that.
Do you?
From some of Master's comments just now, listening to that, I have a feeling that we may have a heated discussion when news comes up a little bit later.
Yes. Maybe a small one.
Oh, I don't get heated about silly things like that. Anyway, I was trying to find Mrs. Melrose on my message feed, but I can't find her.
Go.
Where is she? I can't find you, Deb. Do you exist?
Nah. Figment of your imagination, sorry.
Just jump over the
the neighbor's yard.
Yes.
Well, it was more or less that is the case, but unfortunately I don't have a microphone lead long enough, but there you go. I have now dispatched a message to you for you to dictate.
Oh my days. Alan T. Butcher, that's a long one.
That's what she said.
Is anyone else getting spam messages on Skype?
No.
Yes.
No.
I've now had two come through saying new video message.
Yes, I've had spam.
No, I have nothing.
It's like we're on air, so yeah. We're on, and they seem to be sending. I've got some as well.
No, I don't have any. Kirsten, I have a Mac.
Nope.
I don't think it has anything to do with the Mac.
Never mind about spam. Get on with it. God.
Lovely spam. Dear 20 Megabytes. Wonderful spam.
Shut up.
One might assume with Henry Lincoln's involvement that the Abominable Snowman was a theological conspiracy piece about Jesus' connubial proclivities. Lincoln was amongst those that sued Dan Brown for stealing their ideas for the Da Vinci Code, but no such hypothesis is viable. The Abominable Snowman is, of course, simply a closely studied polemic against the communist Chinese domination of Tibet and the wider spread of totalitarian communism. Communism proxy, the great intelligent, has taken over Padmasambhava, our proxy for the old autonomous...
Pardon?
Communist. Been not in natural form, but mechanized and dangerous in the totalitarian context. Have I?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, you dropped out.
Yeah, you dropped out, right in the middle of the most interesting part of that message.
Where? I have a feeling I know who wrote this.
Well, as you said at the beginning, it's not really surprising. Anyway, carry on, Debbie. Sorry.
Wait, maybe that dropped out too.
No, didn't.
Well, let me start from the second paragraph then. The Abominable Snowman, is that better?
Carry on.
Is or simply a closely studied polemic against the communist Chinese domination of Tibet and the wider spread of totalitarian communism. Communism proxy, the great intelligence, has taken over Padmasambhava, our proxy for the old autonomous Tibet. The Yeti clearly represent the levers of the communist state, benign in natural form but mechanized and dangerous in the totalitarian context. Detsen's monks represent the monks, formerly powerful feudal overlords. The corporeal manifestation of the great intelligence oozing from the mountain, threatening to engulf the world, is obviously an allusion to the much vaunted domino effect of communism spreading internationally. As so often with the real-life analogue, little regard is given to the plight of the ordinary working people and whether they were better off under the feudal or communist hegemony. Thanks. I had to slip up somewhere. Or hegemony, I don't know. I've not seen that word before, Alan T. Fisher. He got me there.
I think he's reading too much.
He's testing your intellectuality.
No, he's trying to get me to slip up and he got me there. However, clearly we are expected to accept with the death of Padmasambhava that no return to the old feudal ways must follow should the communist yoke be thrown off. We must also learn that we must be wary of the great hairy beasties cave and whatever else happens, you really need to know where your balls are.
Oh, that's good.
Anyhow, I know this is getting long and I must try to finish off quickly, but I hear some people will have difficulty pronouncing the master of Detsen's name. I suggest they just remember this little story that happened to me.
You got this interesting story that happened to me, then there was a great big pause and we missed it. So interesting story that happened to me.
Okay. I do a bit of composing in my spare time, traditional dance music mainly. A local Tibetan Latin American dance group approached me, to put together something for a special event they were organizing. So I did this and it ran for about 3 minutes, 40 seconds and I sent it to this guy. He liked it, yet he had one request to make as they wanted a big finale lasting about 5 to 6 minutes. So being a man of great intelligence, He asked if I could pad my samba variations.
Oh, my God.
Excellent.
Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher. Thanks, Alan T. Butcher.
Ooh.
What do you mean, ooh? What's the matter?
It was painful.
No, it wasn't.
Yes.
Got some more audio feedback.
Hi there, this is Paul Gilbert from Guernsey with my feedback for The Abominable Snowman. This is my first time watching this story, and I have to say I'm not that fussed about it. I like the idea for the story, but I found it was too drawn out for a tale with very little action to it. I feel this could have been a four-parter without actually losing very much. Good acting performances by the main cast as usual, and even Victoria is growing on me. It's quite amusing to see the complaints of whitewashing in Hollywood, and then watching this where all the Tibetans seem to be played by Englishmen. Different times. I thought the look of the Yetis was very good, and it was great to see the cape from the Five Doctors make its first appearance. Sorry if that's wrong, Kirby. Anyway, I also meant to ask, what are your favourite stories so far from any era of the show? And which are your favourite Doctors each? Anyway, keep up the good work. I hope to send you some feedback for the Ice Warriors. That's my lot for this time. Catch you soon. Bye.
Well, thank you, Paul. Now, Paul had a few problems. It apparently did send some feedback in for previous stories, but they got lost in the ether, so I gave him my personal email address, and lo and behold, it came through, and so did it also come through on the new normal email address. I don't know what really happened there.
I missed what he was referring to me about.
Oh, nothing interesting.
Yes, it was. I'd like to answer the question, but I don't know what he...
So I've got
something
to try it again,
have
I?
The Five Doctors.
Oh, what about it?
Yeah, what about
I think
it?
You said that this is the first time we see the cave from the Five Doctors.
Oh, okay.
Well, he's not going to disagree with you. Paul Gilbert has commented on the video, so let's see what he says. Isn't that Kirby a lot of rubbish? That's not very kind, Paul. Oh, no, sorry, he says, ha ha, nice one, Alan. That's all coming through now. There's a... Troughton's coat, is it the first time? I think he's talking about the fur coat, so I think that's a yes.
Yes.
And then yes. Jeff Waddle says, if you put a squirrel, a red one, on Adam's head. Now, we don't get red squirrels on the Isle of Wight, you know, because they're an endangered species. And there's no grey squirrels on the island. Isn't that right, Debbie?
No, there's no grey squirrels.
Yeah, because they kill the red ones. So the Isle of Wight is a red squirrel.
What would happen if one jumps onto a ferry?
It would kill all the red squirrels.
Yeah, that's a worry, but hopefully that's not happened yet.
So far, no. If you put a squirrel, a red one, on Adam's head, he could easily cosplay as Michael Sheard, apparently. Is it really that funny? Kirby seems to find it quite funny. Oh, ho, 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 ho. They're all laughing.
Yes, we are.
We love you, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think it's about time we embarked on this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Were we meant to answer
the
question of our favourite
Doctor? Too late. Oh, go on then. Oh, yeah, I'll go on with mine. So far, from Unearthly Child to now. It's difficult to pick out a specific favourite, but I've always... enjoyed the arc and the chase. I like those two stories very much. So to toss up between two, I think the chase slightly, because I like the sort of backwards and forwards and arriving in different destinations, stuff like that. So for me, the chase is my favourite story so far. What did you think then, Mrs. Deborah Melrose?
My favourite so far?
Yes.
Ow.
Huh? That's
it's very difficult.
Sorry, Debbie. Ooh. Sorry, Debbie. Say that again.
It's difficult. I'm trying to work out.
It's difficult. Doctor Who and it's difficult. No, I don't remember that one.
Of course it's tricky. I've enjoyed so many. I could just say the one of my favourites is, what's it called? Land of the Giants? Is that one they call it?
Planet of Giants?
Planet of Giants.
Planet of Giants. That's it, yeah. I like that because I love the sets. They're fantastic.
You love the what?
And it's also one of the first ones
you
that
love
I ever
the what?
Saw.
Remember that being in Doctor Who? Sure, it's a children's programme these days. Oh, the sets. Oh, sorry. The sets. I do apologise. Carry on.
And yeah, it was one of the first ones that I reviewed for when I first came on the podcast as well. So it's definitely got a soft spot in my heart, that one. And it's a toss up between that one or The Unearthly Child, because that's just amazing. That's where it all started, and very classic answer, but I think it's got to be Planet of Giants. And my favourite Doctor is still Tom Baker, but Patrick Troughton is coming up fast on the inside. I'm talking about
favourite Doctors. It was favourite episodes, Debbie, so stop trying.
Yeah, he asked favourite Doctors as well, so there you go.
Oh, mine's Peter Davison. Mine's Peter Davison. Right then, yep. Go on then. Kirby, what do you reckon?
My favourite story so far, Dalek Invasion of Earth. Favourite Doctor is well-known, Tom Baker.
Mary... Yep. Favourite Doctor, Paul McGann, obviously, because he's the only one you've had a tongue down the throat of. So what's your favourite...
personal choice.
favorite
in terms of
episode
stories
so
and all that, my favourite Doctor has remained the fifth Doctor.
Interesting.
My favourite story so far, I have to pick the Gunfighters. Especially because it's backed up with that really catchy tune. No, actually, my favorite so far.
So it's not the Gunfighters then.
Has been the Web Planet, because I just find it so eerie, so strange. It's bizarre in so many ways. You know, I think I watched the whole thing with my mouth hanging open. So. You know, saying, "Oh my God, what are they doing?"
What are you doing?
I do agree with you. I had been given the impression from Masta that the Web Planet was terrible.
And
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it was very, very creative, which harkens
back to... better than
Gunfighters,
that's all I'll give it. But only more,
my favorite Doctor being the fifth Doctor, because the stories of his era are, you know, except for, you know, what, like the Black Orchid, are also very... creative, very different.
Black Orchid.
Yeah. Black Orchid was pretty bad, but you know, his stories were just very, very different, very creative. So that's why I like his era, you know, and the Doctor.
There's a furthermore. Paul Gilbert says, no, any era that you have seen, not just on the journey.
Any what? Any story? Oh my gosh, there's too many.
Okay. I think to remember saying in the past,
can
it's Pirate Planet.
Next recording?
Can we respond next time?
No. I quite like, I like Pirate Planet. I did like the last Christmas special immensely. I just point out, obviously that upset everybody, me liking it, so I better say I don't like it and say I like Pirate Planet, which has always been my favourite classic story. What do you think then, Debbie?
I'm trying to remember the title. I don't know why I can't remember the title. It's one of my favourites. Oh. It's the one with the Seventh Doctor and Ace in the Daleks, where they first...
Remembrance of the Daleks.
Remembrance.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, why couldn't I remember it? Sorry.
I don't know, because you're being awkward. Kirby.
No, I've had a bit of a tough day, I'm sorry.
Oh, babe, I did remember. I'll pop over and give you a hug.
I have this illness that sometimes makes my days a little bit harder to get through than others.
Yeah, I'm just going to pop around Deb and give her a cuddle. See you in a minute. What? Oh, no, I'm not. I can't go out with my onesie on. Yeah, Kirby.
Why not?
Shut up. Kirby.
I've stopped you before.
Kirby,
is it my turn?
Yes, it's your bloody turn. Get on with it.
Running through Paris, we're running through Paris. City of Death.
Mary.
My favorite of the newer series would be the Christmas Carol, followed very closely by The Husbands of Riversong. And of the classic era, which I haven't seen all of the classic era, so far, I don't know. I'm thinking of, what is that? It's a Fifth Doctor story with the big snake.
Snake dance?
Oh, God.
Or
the snake that takes
Kinda?
Over. Kinda.
Mm-hmm.
Kinda.
That's very good. It is very good.
Which I haven't seen.
Okay. So apparently, Jeff Waddle says he bloody loves the web planet and bloody loves gunfighters and he bloody loves Mary. Mary, you're in there, but Jeff, honestly, you've got to try and get behind Paul McGann in the queue. Alan T. Butcher says, Alan T. Butcher says, favourite episode, part 3 of Enemy of the World. And Paul Gobert says, lol. And Alan T. Butcher also said, what's your favourite colour jelly baby? Well, mine would be those sort of black currant-y coloured ones. They're purple, aren't they?
Green ones.
They all taste exactly the same.
No, they don't.
Yeah, to me, they all taste the same.
I like the red ones as well. They're nice.
Anyway, must be American versions.
Enough of this banter.
The best ones were, what is her name? There's the woman who comes to the conventions here who soaks them in various liqueurs.
Is she an alcoholic?
They all make my teeth hurt, so I can't say that I like any particular one.
Well, talk amongst yourselves for a bit.
I like the yellow ones as well. They're quite nice. Yeah. Anything citrusy.
Do they taste like anything but sugar to you?
Yeah, the taste of the fruit.
Oh.
I think they must lose something in their transportation to the state.
They supposedly have names, although I'm looking at this box and it doesn't have the name stuff on them.
What, this box here, Kirby? Yeah.
Right?
Hey, jelly babies.
Jelly babies.
That's interesting. They may contain wheat. Okay.
Well, I like jelly babies.
And Kirby, I have to give you credit here. I really enjoyed your question that you posted, getting people to send in feedback. I like that. Have you sent in your feedback yet?
Very good.
I'm trying to change up. You may have noticed that the last 2 or 3 weeks, I'm trying to be a little more creative.
It's taken you 6 years. Well done.
Has it been 6 years?
Anyway. It's now time for this Wox. That was your fault. Get it right the first time. This week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
I won't.
Hang on, I forgot to write the lines in. Just drawing the lines in as we speak. Mary, who do you think is going to be the top of the scoring people at the end of the quiz questions?
This time I'm going to pick Debbie.
Who did you pick last time then?
I picked you last time.
Bad luck. Debbie, who do you think is going to be top of the, what I just said?
You.
You can pick yourself.
You're picking me, are you?
No, I'm picking Adam.
Kirby, who do you think is going to be top of the scores at the end of the question part of this particular event?
Debbie. I was going to pick you, except there's no point because Debbie is going to win and she picked you, therefore she's going to win.
I see tactics.
See what I'm
saying? Okay, first question, and I've got it on paper this time because I'm using the iPad for broadcasting purposes. So I've actually printed them out on this sheet of paper. Look, see, there you go. Where's the answer?
There's the answer.
There they are again. Okay. First question goes to Mary. Who screamed at the start of the story? Story. Who screamed at the start of the story?
Of course you know. I know too, but it's too late.
Oh, well, I mean, I know that it's Trevor's friend, but I didn't write his name down, so I don't know.
Point to me. Go on then, Debbie.
John.
Debbie.
The first word on my notes.
Debbie. What did the doctor want to find?
Whose question?
Well,
as I
said, Debbie, that would therefore indicate. Let me think who it could be. It's not Mary, it's not Kirby.
You phased out.
No, I didn't. I heard myself quite clearly. Syllable. I heard myself quite clearly. Debbie.
Yes.
What did the doctor want to find before they leave the TARDIS?
He wants to find the Ganter.
Oh dear, my bell went funny. It went funny again. I lit it a bit harder this time. That's better.
Ow.
You could have played your Joker there.
I should have.
Fed up with trying to remember. How many weeks have we been doing this Joker thing and you lot can't remember?
I'm saving it.
Are you? Kirby.
I'm not going to get any. Shut up. I have no point.
That's what she said. Kirby.
Master.
What did the Ganta have on it?
A dragon. Oh, darn, I should have done a joke. I knew that.
Oh, my bell. It's not dinging properly. That's better.
Well, you'll have to go to Paris and buy another one. You can run through Paris while you're there.
Running through Paris.
Mary.
Yes.
What was the doctor afraid that Jamie might want to fix?
I know.
I have no idea.
All right, so another point to me. Go on. Who said I know? It was Kirby, wasn't it?
I said it first. Yes, yeah, the bagpipes.
Debbie.
Yes.
What did Jamie go back into the TARDIS to fetch before he and Victoria started exploring?
He goes and gets the scimitar sword.
I'm going to give up on this dinger in a minute. Kirby.
Master.
Yeah, how long was the drop outside the doctor's window?
I know.
It's... I was thinking it was not my turn.
Like your joker.
I said, I know. I need to do my... what is the... Where I know it...
Give the answer?
Get the extra point.
Pardon?
Joker.
Oh, eventually.
Yes. I don't play cards. How am I supposed to know? 100 foot.
Good grief, that was long-winded, wasn't it?
Joker hangs around with Batman, you know.
No, he doesn't. Not in this instance. Right then, Mary.
Was that correct?
Yes,
yes it was. My dinger's not dinging particularly well today. I don't know why. Put it on a different surface. Still not working properly. Hang on. Let's put it on this. Oh, that's better.
Ow.
Right, Mary.
He really wants to knock our ears out.
Shut up, Mary.
Yes.
What tag did the papers give Travers?
I have no idea.
Good, I might have some points. Anybody?
I think I know.
Go on then.
Of course you know.
Is it the mad anthropologist?
Debbie.
Yes.
What was Prisson's title?
Chief Warrior.
No, it's just Chief Warrior. Not Chief Warrior, Chief Warrior, Chief Warrior. It's just Chief Warrior.
You all phased out. I'm
no,
sorry.
We didn't. Kirby?
Did to me.
Master.
Sorry, that was funny. Good Master. Group. What did Jamie take from the cave?
One of the spheres. I can't do a joker because I've used it.
Correct. You have used it, so you can't use your joker. All right, let's have a score.
And now update. I remember what it's called. I don't know why
right.
I blanked
let's
out.
Let's have
there.
A score update. Shut up. Score update. In last place with no points, it's Mary. In third place with 3 points, it's me. In second place with 8 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 9 points, it's Smarty Pants Kirby. And last time I said Smarty Pants Kirby, he ended up losing quite considerably. So that's probably
yes, I should lose. I don't have any notes.
Here we go. Excuse. Sorry, Reese.
I didn't know that there was any info text. I didn't know that for episode 2. I didn't know that there was a commentary for episode 2 until too late.
Never mind. Ashley Hughes has asked. Shut up! Ashley Hughes has asked, will live chat stop soon? I don't know. It just stops when it wants to stop. Why does Jeff Waddle say Huey McPhee? Anyway, right.
He was probably responding to something we said.
Right, Mary, question for you.
Yeah.
If I can find out where I was, because they've all put me off. All right. What tune did the Doctor play on his recorder before Tomney came in for him?
I know.
I know too, but it's too late.
Pardon?
What's the name of that tune?
I didn't hear what tune you sung.
Was it Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star?
Yay!
Yay!
Should have played a joker there. Right, Debbie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Minimum house, that's where I was again. I've put a marker on it because I can write on this. This is really cool. Oh, yeah, right.
That would help.
Shut up. Right. whose question is it? It's Debbie, yes.
Nice. Debbie.
What was the abbot's name?
Songsen.
I beg your pardon?
Songsen.
Should have played your joker.
Should have played my joker.
If I have to say that one more time, I'm going to deduct points. Right then, Kirby.
Master.
How long was the Ganter lost?
I know.
I'm going to say 200 years.
You're going to be
correct. Because I was afraid it was 300.
He says 200 years or more lost is what the abbot says.
Yeah.
Right. And you see, if you look at the timeline, when you put it together with Web of Fear, it's 300 years.
Whatever.
It's what they said at the time in the episode, though.
Right.
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
Yes?
What did Chrisong call the captured Yeti? I'm just pausing the cursor over the appropriate sound effect.
I don't know.
Go on then, Debbie.
Is it the Devil's Warrior? Hey, that was a guess.
Debbie. No,
they use the word devil a lot. Yes.
What did the Doctor call the sphere?
Was it a control sphere?
I'll give you a point for that. Not quite what was... bloody hell. Oh, never mind. I'll give you a point for that. Not quite what was in the script. Anybody want to know or come up with the correct script?
I have no idea.
Anybody know? Right, it was control unit.
Okay.
Picky.
It wasn't picky. Kirby.
Master.
How did Jamie describe Chrisong to Tomney?
I don't know.
Anybody?
I know.
Go on then.
Of course you do.
He's a wee bit daffy.
That's funny because that was my quote.
Yeah.
Right, the scores. In last place with 2 points, it's Mary. In third place with 6 points, it's me. In second place with 11 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 13 points, it's Smarty Pants Dewey.
See, that's the way it should be.
Sorry, my cat's having a hairball.
Oh, don't use excuses. Right.
No, it's just if you can hear something weird, that's all.
I can hear something weird. It's Kirby.
We hear that around this house all the time with six cats.
Right, Mary.
Yeah, we got three.
Mary.
Yes.
What are harsh words like according to the abbot?
I don't know.
Oh, I know.
More points for me. Go on then, Kirby.
They're like blunted arrows.
My dinger is really
the truth that makes failing them today. Sharp.
Right, next question goes to Debbie.
Yep.
What did Victoria say she didn't like to Tomney? Won't get this one. Pages flickering?
No, that wasn't me, actually.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I think I know.
I don't know. I don't actually know.
Go on then, Kirby.
Mysteries.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you will get this one. Okay. Right, next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What was the Doctor's clever plan against the Yeti?
Oh, yeah.
To bung a rock at it.
Should have played your joker. Sorry, I was going to say Debbie's the one that hasn't played a joker, and I'm going to get very cross and start deducting points in a minute. Right then, Mary.
Yes.
What did Victoria say? Oh, I've done that one. Oh, sorry. I've gone backwards in the questioning. Right, the next one is, why did Victoria enter the inner sanctum and visit Padmas Ambavar?
I know.
Of course you do.
I don't know, because she was curious.
Go on then, Debbie.
Was it the she has no alternative? It's your quote, Mary.
That's a fun. Yeah, that's ironic, isn't it?
My quote happened much later in the story.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right then, Debbie.
Sorry. Yes.
What did Tomney call Jamie?
Oh, Joker.
Oh, there we go.
Mr. James.
Say again.
Mr. James.
I never heard him call him Joker.
You're so funny.
Yeah, Joker.
Joker.
Kirby. Kirby.
Master.
When Travers woke up, what could he not remember even after the doctor probed him?
Ooh.
Ooh, that's what she said. the pyramid.
Got there in the end. Had to drop some in the end in there just to just annoy me.
I was going to say anything that he saw in the cave.
Mary.
No, he remembered the blinding white night and the noise.
Shut up,
blinding
Mary.
White light and the noise.
Mary.
Yes.
What readings did shut up? What readings did Jamie read out when asked by the doctor?
Oh,
I know,
yeah.
I know.
297.
Yes.
Bad luck, Kirby. Should have played your joker though, Mary.
I should have.
Yes, you should. Right, see, Debbie.
That's when I knew that you were going to ask, so.
Debbie.
Yes?
How long ago did the doctor say he had previously visited?
Doesn't he say 300 years?
Kirby.
Oh, yeah. that's where things yeah. get that mixed up.
Yeah,
okay.
I know, there is confusion. Yeah,
Kirby sort of
there.
Gave the answer away to that one earlier on in the quiz. Kirby.
I did it down.
Why did the doctor whisper? Why did the doctor whisper?
Oh, I thought he was going to. I thought you were talking about this. Because Victoria was reacting to any time he said anything.
Right, score update. In last place with 4 points, it's Mary, but she should really have 8 points, but she couldn't be bothered to play a joker. In third place with 9 points, it's
Mint. Give it to her.
Shut up. In second place with 19 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 20 points, it's Debbie. Next question.
Go, Debbie.
To Mary. How did the doctor initiate Victoria's release from him? How did the doctor initiate Victoria's release from hypnosis?
Debbie knows, I'm sure.
Oh, I mean, all I know is he talked to her very quietly.
Go on in. Apparently Debbie knows, even though she hasn't said I know.
Or is it to counteract the hypnotic suggestion, he tells her to go to sleep? But he sends Jamie to sleep as well.
Yeah, that was funny.
Right?
Didn't that happen once before that he was...
He does yes. hypnotize Jamie at some point, but not yet.
Yeah, there was that story when they were... I think it was the one with the Daleks. He was trying to hypnotize that guy, and he was hypnotizing Jamie too.
Yeah, Jamie's very susceptible to that sort of thing. He sends her to sleep. He sends her back when he was in the cell with Jamie.
Yeah, well, they're just talking amongst themselves. The answer was he told her that she was safe in the TARDIS. And eventually we'll find out who that question was originally for before you lot went off on one.
Who's that? That was for me.
All right then, Debbie.
Yes.
Who killed Chrisong?
Song Sen.
Kirby.
Master.
What was the doctor's plan for Victoria?
For her to go away with the monks.
Right, not many questions left now. In fact, there's 3 left. That's quite handy, isn't it?
Has Mary played her joker yet?
No, she hasn't. No. So you're forced to play it now, Mary. Rather silly, really,
isn't
it?
Forced to.
That means I lose double if I play it.
Well, either way, if you don't play it, I get all the points. If you do play it, I might get all the points. So you have no choice but to play it. But the scores so far are in last place with 4 points, it's Mary. In third place with 11 points, it's me. In second place with 21 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 22 points, it's Debbie. Mary. Where is the hidden room in the sanctum?
I know.
I will play my Joker.
Go on, Em.
It's behind the throne.
Yay! Yay!
Which is ironically where we keep ours. Right.
Yeah, mine's there too.
Debbie.
Yes.
What player did the Doctor ask Tomney to teach Victoria? Prayer, that is, not player, sorry. What prayer did the Doctor ask Tomney to teach Victoria?
Jewel of the Lotus prayer.
No, sorry, you said that wrong. You went Jewel of the Lotus prayer. So you only get one go at this. Kirby.
Master.
By the way, I did give you the points there. I was joking. Yes. Last question. It's what mantra did Victoria try to chant?
Oh, blimey, I just said it.
No.
Wrong.
No, that's not the answer. She does not say, oh, blimey, I just tried to say...
Oh, mummy, pardon me, whom? But Debbie just said it.
Yeah, but she said it at the wrong time.
I just realized I should have lost that one because I think I went into the lead. Oh, dear.
Right, okay. I'm just toting things up as we speak.
Toting?
Right then, toting, as in totaling, toting. Yes? So, Mary presented Debbie. Didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Bad luck. No, I'm only joking.
Not that it's doing me.
I predicted... No, sorry, Debbie predicted me. Kirby predicted Debbie. And I predicted... I forgot to predict anyone, actually. So I'll have to put myself down as predicting me.
Late.
What a donut. Well, I forgot to predict anyone. It's your lot fault for putting me off. Right. So, the final scores are... In last place with 11 points, me. In third place with 16 points, it's Mary. In second place with 24 points, it's Debbie. And the winner this week with 46 points, it's Kirby.
Oh, 2 weeks in a row.
Wow.
I did not expect that. So... So I really had fewer points, but it's because I predicted Debbie, correct?
You were at the end of the question answering part of the competition. You were 1 point behind. Telling me 1 point behind Debbie, but
that's what I expect. Okay.
Yeah. I've just had a message come up. Shut up a minute! I've just had a message come up from Facebook saying 3 minutes left of live video. Left, so sorry.
So letting you know.
Live, yeah, no, that's quite nice. It only flashes up.
Are you going to start up another one?
No. Viewers on the Facebook stream, thank you for watching. You'll have to listen to the rest of the show. There won't be that much effort of it, to be fair. Next time.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Hang on, I'm not talking to the viewers. thanks for tuning in. Hopefully, we'll be back next week in the same capacity. I must admit, the one we do. When I have to do that one where I've got to go to the mainland and Debbie's got to host it, I think Debbie should have a live feed from Castle Melrose. She disagrees with this plan. I've got 2 minutes left now. Just in case I forget about the 2 minutes we've got left and it just cuts out, thanks for washing and listen to the rest of the show when it comes out, whenever it comes out. Anyway, I'm going to go back to the show now because I'm going to do Doctor Who news. Apparently, this is what everybody's been waiting for. There's a new companion who's going to be called Bill. Now, somebody came up and saying, Bill, that's an unusual name for a girl. Forgetting, of course, Billy Piper is called Bill.
Yes.
But never mind. The impression I got was basically what Ben said. Ben Shoveler, family member of the show, said that she's a bit like a bad children's TV presenter in the way she was sort of presented in this mini episode. But I'm not going to judge her on that because it's just...
But you just did.
No, that's where she came across. I'm not going to judge her until I've seen her in an episode and how
she
they actually...
She looks like she comes from the early 90s or something, doesn't she? The
way she's dressed. She is a bit ace-like.
Yeah, bros were, in and all that, yeah.
I mean, if she's going to be like this for the whole time she's in Doctor Who, I'm not going to like her very much. But I won't stop liking Doctor Who because there's been companions in the show I've not liked in the past and it's not stopped me from watching it. But I'm not going to judge her.
Yeah, Clara for the last several years.
Oh, shut up. I like Clara.
Yeah, really.
She's essentially she's a friend of the show by proxy because I've had my picture taken with her. But yes, we've got about 20 seconds left of the live feed. Quickly, what do you lot think, quick?
I'm waiting till we see it.
Just wait.
Just
wait to see what she's like.
Any judgment. Someone posted a comment that I thought was interesting, and they said, correctness 101, she's ethnic instead of white, she's a female instead of male, and she's got a boy's name, which is very big for women now in the media.
Right, the live feed's finished now.
I'm hoping that she's not going to be suddenly the most important thing in the TARDIS again.
That's what I hope, yeah.
And I'm hoping that they have a relationship like he did with Donna.
Maybe so, we'll find out. But he seems to find her a bit irritating in the little mini episode because she keeps asking a load of stupid questions. But that's what the companion should do.
She just met the Daleks, though,
stupid questions? They're not stupid questions.
No, that's what I'm saying. We want the Doctor to be the big know-all and the companion to be asking the Doctor what's going on. Yeah, to sort of come in and be a bit brave to a certain degree.
Why the Daleks again?
What's wrong with Daleks?
Don't
you realise, Debbie,
that
if it weren't for the Daleks, we wouldn't have Doctor Who to talk about now, because it would have finished after a couple of episodes.
The Daleks used to terrify the bejesus out of me.
But you're an adult now. They are still quite scary, though.
They still did. I mean, when they said, would you care for some tea? That was one of the most frighteningly British evil things I have ever heard in my life. But now, I'm just a bit like... Really?
Well, as someone pointed out, I think there's a contract to keep to be able to use them. And who knows? Maybe that fulfilled the contract.
Maybe it did. Nothing wrong with Daleks.
There is nothing wrong with Daleks, but I used to be really excited when they turned up. I was sat there watching it going, oh, Daleks again. And I'm not alone. I can't be. So, I'm just hoping that they bring a new sort of slant on it or something would be good. And obviously we're getting to see it from a new companion's point of view, who's probably never even heard of them, which would be interesting. Because
wouldn't everyone in Britain at this point know about the Daleks? So why wouldn't she know about them? Unless she's from another...
Well, weren't the memory of the Daleks wiped from history at some point during the history of Doctor Who?
They'd been wiped from history. Mm. I didn't know that people were still supposed to remember them.
There is an interesting sentence that I read.
Yes.
It's on the news feed. It says, filming for the next series of the show begins soon, with the next episode due to be screened at Christmas. So we have all the way till Christmas before we see any more Doctor Who, followed by a 12-part series in 2017. Mm-hmm. They don't say, that the others are going to follow immediately after Christmas or when they're going to be, but we're at least going to get new Doctor Who at Christmas.
Mary, don't they usually start around Easter and then they carry on towards Christmas with a few breaks here and there?
Well, no, the last 2 years they've started like in August and then we have finished up at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll do that again.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's quite not quite what everybody expected and hoped for, but at the end of the day, it's not going to be anything like Clara. I seem to remember people didn't really like Ace, not Ace, what are you talking about? Martha. What did I get from Ace from? They didn't like Martha that much as a character, but by the time
we got to Martha.
I'm not saying you, I said people. That's why she was booted off at the end of the first series.
Martha just made everybody so uncomfortable because she was so in love with the Doctor and he barely knew she existed. And I think that made us all feel sorry for her. So we didn't like her for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, I liked her all the way through
her time.
She was
the girl who walked, wasn't she? You know, she saved her. And then she sort of goes, I've had enough of this, bye.
I liked Martha, and she did appear in the next series a little bit as a cameo. But I'm not sure about this from the initial introduction. It's a bit weird that they have a big deal introduction for a companion like they have done. I mean, I was watching the FA Cup semi-final, and when they said it was going to be a match of the day, I thought it was going to be on the highlight show later in the evening. So I was quite, it's Doctor Who. And to see a nice little bit of sort of episode,
how
I suppose.
How would you think that when they said it was going to be at the middle... So,
I didn't pay attention to that. I just had it in my mind when they said Match of the Day. Match of the Day is generally a highlights program that's later on in the evening.
No.
I didn't think, it's going to be on the FA Cup semi-final thing.
The actual match of the day.
That was an odd time to
It was very odd. I couldn't work out why. Were they trying to boost the ratings of the semi-final? Because I certainly didn't watch it. I don't watch football, so I waited until it.
I don't know why they did it, but at the end of the day,
I thought they put it on something like, you know, sort of a set time, or devote a program to it, or a 10-minute slot to it, rather than just shove it in the football.
I haven't actually watched it properly yet, but it is available if you go to DoctorWhoNews.net. And the funny thing about the news, that is essentially it.
The link too.
That's essentially it for news. It's all about Pearl McKee, who plays Bill.
Mackie, isn't it?
Or whatever Mackie, or whatever Kirby,
Americans,
for goodness sake.
Mackie, I don't know what you Brits say.
Mackie.
It's Mackie.
Or McKee. Whatever, doesn't matter.
Target's got a new book out.
The most important thing, never mind Target, the most important thing about this new companion in Doctor Who is the fact that Doctor Who is coming back.
Yes. I don't think that the new companion is pretty secondary to most of us. We just want Doctor Who back.
Yeah, put it back on. That's what you got.
He can be alone for all we care. Just put him back on.
Sorry, Debbie, carry on.
That's all right. On this Thursday, Target have got a book out about called The Target Book.
Yeah.
And it's about history of the Target Doctor Who books.
Oh, I bet Alistair
would
be in that then.
By David J. Howe with Tim Neill, and I would like that. I'm definitely going to have to get that.
Alistair will be in that then. Will be in that.
Yes.
Alistair will be in that book, as he's done hundreds of the covers. In fact, if they're going to show all the covers, my initials will be in it.
Terror
of the Zygons cover. Have a look at the Terror of the Zygons cover. You'll see my initials.
I have actually got most of them now. Every book, every one we review, I try and get the Target.
Apparently, the Terror of the Zygons one book with my picture on it, that my initials on it, is one of the rarer copies of the book, and I've got it somewhere.
Oh.
Or is it the Revenge of the Cybermen one? I can't remember now. Revenge of the Cybermen has got APDB on it, which is mine and Debbie's initials. But some people mistake the DB part of it for David Banks, but no, it isn't. Alistair painted those initials on for myself and the wife, because that's around the time we got married that he painted that cover. You've all gone quiet.
No, I've been listening.
Oh, right, whoone.co.uk have some new products coming up your way. It's a DWM special, the special effects edition, which is going to be £5.99. You can buy that.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
.co.uk, and get it a lot sooner than you would do waiting for it to arrive in your various outlets that you might find in your country for buying magazines like this. Invasion by Ian Marta. It's a audio version of Invasion, the book. DWM 498 with David Tennant and Catherine Tate on the cover. And the DWM Special Time Lords edition, of course, is also available. They're all coming soon. No, that's the latest. Oh, no, sorry, they are the coming soon products. These are the latest products, which are essentially the same. So
they're the latest products. The coming soon products are the Who Won Bessie number plate.
Ooh, it's funny to say about the Who Won Bessie number plate, because Billy Kirkbright has bought that.
Yeah.
That's £5.99.
Yes, he has.
Mm. And he sounds very excited about waiting for it
to
arrive.
He looks brilliant.
Mm. I haven't got one yet, but I'm looking into getting one. I've got to buy Alicia a car tomorrow. Another car.
Adam, can you just wait till your birthday's out of the way?
Wait till my birthday's out the way?
Because in case you might get one for your birthday.
Yeah. No. No, I can't. I'm not going to get a chance to go up. I'm not being funny. But I'm not going to get a chance. Shut up a minute. Shut up. I'm not going to get a chance to
take hints at all.
Be quiet. Shut up. Let me speak. I'm not going to get a chance to go to Who Won between now and my birthday anyway, so I'm not going to be able to get it. No, moving on. I've lost where I was now.
Good.
Yes, another sponsorship, Lavazzi. Lavazzi.co.
My favourite of our sponsors.
.uk.
Kirby,
can you remember, can you give an example of a product that Lavazzi might manufacture?
A very wonderful, soft, very long Fourth Doctor scarf.
Well, what's so good about that then?
Really?
Well, that's the end of that then.
Who did I say earlier is my favourite doctor?
Peter Davison. All right, so...
As I've already said on the Facebook page, I'm going to be a guest on the Earth Station Who podcast next week, and they wanted me to pick a story to review, and I picked my very first Doctor Who story, which is Hand of Fear.
Hand of Fear is good. Good. So, so you can buy...
if it hadn't been for that story, I wouldn't be a fan now.
Oh, no. You can buy two versions of the longer Tom Baker scarf. One is based on the scarf that was out when the Doctor was first Tom Baker, and one that was sort of based on the scarf when he was just before he changed it into the Burgundy scarf. But you can also get the Burgundy scarf. So I think most Doctor Who fans who be interested in Lavazzi will be aiming to try and get themselves one of these 18-foot scarves.
Mine's the shorter one.
Is it not 18 foot?
No.
It's still nice though, isn't it?
No, it's the shorter one. Yes, of course.
My scarf's extremely long. Most of the time, I have to wrap it around my head and my neck because I don't like it dangling.
How can you see? I mean, you just have
have my eyes showing. It makes a very good balaclava. Yes, the Dalek scarf and the TARDIS scarf. Which one have you got, Debbie?
I've got a dodgy replica, but it's very, very long.
No, I'm talking about the Dalek and the TARDIS scarf. You got one, didn't you?
Oh, I've got the red one with the navy, and then it reverses on the other side to navy with red TARDIS.
So what is the motif? Is it a Dalek or is it a TARDIS?
TARDIS. I've got the TARDIS one.
I'm quite tempted at some point to get the Seventh Doctor silk paisley scarves because I do like paisley. It reminds me of my teenage years because paisley came back in the early 80s, probably in relation to mods and stuff like that, because it was a 60s thing. And I had a proper paisley scarf. It was a dark red paisley. It was silk and that, and I used to wear it by part of me being a mod at the time, but I haven't got it anymore. But I'd like to get my hands on that the paisley scarf of the Seventh Doctor. But you can also get a paisley handkerchief of the Seventh Doctor too. So those items available at lavazzi.co.uk now.
Make a Beatles reference and he ignores me. Okay.
Yes, well done. I'm going to be considering...
Thank you.
going in for the audible.co.uk/20MB offer of a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial, because I need an audiobook to listen to while I'm on my first aid course. So I will probably be embarking on that. And if you pay £7.99 a month after that, you get a free book. Well, I say a not a free book, but you get a book every month as part of your subscription, and you can then buy a load of other audiobooks as well. Really good offer. So it's audible.co.uk/20MB. Isn't that good, Debbie? Have you got yours yet?
There. I like the way you gave that this time, because I don't have to ask how do you spell 20 megabyte.
Yes, I have got mine.
Have you? What did you get?
I got Philosopher's Stone.
Cool.
I've supposed to
say it again, just in case people didn't listen to previous episodes of the show.
Yes, Master.
So that's essentially it for that particular link. Right then, anybody got any last minute bits to add before we finish the show?
Recording next Sunday.
Oh, recording next Sunday. Let's have a look at my diary. Because next week, if we do record, it will be Ice Warriors. And I can't do
next week. Another sixth episode.
I can't do...
Oh, God.
Please listen! I can't do next week because I'm filming a wedding in London. So I will not be here.
Ooh, in London.
I can't do Saturday.
Does that give us, Does that give us two then?
Hang on, let me finish. I can't do Saturday because I'm filming a wedding here on the Isle of Wight. I could do Monday. No, I couldn't because I'm doing a photo shoot on Monday morning of the 2nd of April, May. I could do a Tuesday or a Wednesday, but I'm not quite sure what my shifts are yet. But I'm sure you'll probably think...
I'm working both those.
I'll stop being awkward. I could do a Thursday or a Friday, but I don't know what my shifts are. I'm unlikely to be available in the morning, but I might be available.
Just put it off to the next Sunday.
Yeah. The next Sunday, I'm going away on a first aid course, but I could do that if Debbie hosts the show at the Castle Melrose.
I can do.
And also, you've got to bear in mind also that that Sunday, the 8th of April, is the day after Mary's birthday, and I don't know if she might be hungover, maybe.
Oh, you knew that, huh?
Yeah,
what,
we know.
What, no, you're going to be hungover?
Both, yeah.
So,
yeah, that day is fine by me because that gives me a chance to study in depth.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Ice Warriors is quite a long story, so... I think
it's a long story, and it's a two disc set, which Adam, all sorts of extras.
Do you want me to do the questions as well?
You could do. I think I probably won't be any good in the quiz because I don't know how I'm going to be able to communicate. But I don't. I am competitive.
I am competitive,
but I'm not that competitive. But yes, you could do the questions and the quiz if you so wish to. We'll aim to record.
Talk about it.
We'll aim to record at 8 p.m. on that Sunday.
The 8th of May.
It might end up being 8:30 because I don't know how long it takes to drive from Portsmouth to Brighton, which is essentially where I've got.
Now, that happens to be Mother's Day here in the States, but that's fine.
I'm sorry about that.
We recorded on Mother's Day here, didn't we?
Yes, I know.
So that's what we're aiming for then.
It's also a few days after May the 4th be with you.
Sunday the 8th of May.
Yeah, and I vote for one in which we just talk about the episode. We don't have to do a quiz.
No, we're going to do a quiz, Mary. Sorry. I might have to dub on the sound effects afterwards, but we're doing a quiz.
We keep it. Ding.
No, not going to do that nonsense.
All you have to do is walk across the street and down the back lanes or whatever, and a couple of blocks or however far it is, and
break
give
into
her the
my
bell.
House and nick my bell. Yeah, that's going to go down well.
I'll get my own.
Oh, yeah. Or you're going to go off to Disneyland Paris and get yourself one of these.
No, I'm just going to go down the local shop and find a bell.
It's got to be a special dinger bell, like they get at hotels. Unless I'd record the show from the hotel lobby. Just use the.
Can I use your bell?
Yeah, just imagine it. I'm in the lobby, and every time you get the question right, yeah, it's going to help you. No, sorry, I'm just doing a quiz. Debbie, your question. Hello. Yeah, it's going to help you. No, I'm just doing a quiz, and Debbie's just answered the question. Just imagine it. Anyway, right, so I've got to try and get something to eat that evening as well, so I don't know how I'm going to manage that. So I've got to try and maybe get a McDonald's or something like that. So I'd say, can I please say that we'll aim to record at 8:30 that evening?
Okay.
I'm not going to be in a major rush to get a bath before we record. I'll get one afterwards, or a shower, depending on what facilities are in there.
Should I indicate in my reminder specifically the 8:30 or
8:30? And one of you is going to have to do the live Facebook thingy. That'd be quite interesting.
Well, it's not going to be me. I don't have that.
Well, it's not going to be me. Okay.
I will.
So that's enthusiasm. I would suggest doing it over the mobile network, not over the internet. Otherwise, you'll lose your bandwidth. Pardon?
I will probably have to borrow Tom's phone then, because I don't have any access to 4G other than about 10 minutes.
If you borrow Tom's phone, you'll have to log in using your account, though, won't you?
Yes, yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay, good. Anyway, so until 2 weeks' time, thank you for listening and watching the show. Hope you do it so again. Goodbye.
Aww.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Is an apvservices.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.